Amen. Thank you. That's a great song, Resurrection Power. I don't know if you've noticed, there's kind of a theme to the songs this morning. A little bit of a theme here with the songs all about the resurrection. I can tell you this theme is going to continue in the message, all right? It's going to continue in the message. If you would, of course, we think about Easter, we think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and obviously, we can go to the gospel records and we read about his resurrection. But this morning, if you would, I'd like you to take your Bibles and open to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And while you're turning there, I do want to read a portion of one of the gospel records. Obviously, we understand what we're talking about today. When we speak about the Easter, we speak about the resurrection. It says in Mark chapter 16, and when a Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, of course, the first day of the week is Sunday, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. They said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, "Be not afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen." Those are powerful words. "He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." I love that. He is not here. He's not here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I don't usually read long portions of Scripture, but this morning we're going to read a little bit longer portion than normal. And we're going to begin in verse number 1, and we're going to read down to verse number 22. And so you can follow along with me in your Bible. The words will be up on the screen as well. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Father, we do thank you for your word this morning. Lord, as we read the scriptures today, we know these are not just men's words. These are not Mark's words that we read. These are not Paul's words that we read, but these are the very words of God. As the Holy Spirit of God moved these men to write and to pen these words. So, Father, we thank you that we can come this morning knowing that the word of God is true, knowing that there's no mistakes, and Lord, that we can put our trust in it and we can believe what God says is true. And so, Father, I pray that you would just work in our hearts this morning. Lord, maybe there's someone here today that doesn't really understand what Easter is all about. Oh, they understand that it's about the resurrection. They understand maybe it's about Easter eggs and things like that, but they don't really understand that Easter is about what Jesus Christ did for them and his desire to save them from their sins. And so, Father, I pray that you'd work in our hearts this morning. May we look to you as we look to your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is a powerful passage here. This morning, Paul tells us in the opening statement of this chapter that he is declaring the gospel message. That's what he says. He says, I'm declaring the gospel message unto you, which I preached. But what is the gospel message? Well, Paul explains exactly what that is in verse 3 and 4. When we think of the gospel, we know the word gospel means good news. That's what the word gospel means. It means good news. But what is the gospel message? He specifically tells us in referring to the gospel of Jesus Christ that the good news, the message, is what he has preached. He says also in verse number 2, by also which ye are saved. So this is, it's through the gospel message that someone is saved. And this is what he says. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Here's the gospel message. Jesus Christ died for our sins. Jesus Christ was buried, and Jesus Christ rose again the third day to give us eternal life. That is the gospel message. By the way, friend, there is only one gospel message of Jesus Christ. Just one. It's his death, his burial, and his resurrection. It's interesting, in this passage that we've read, seven times Paul uses the word if. If. It's a small two-letter word, but it's a very big word. In fact, our eternal destiny rests on it. And so this morning, I want to just give you a couple points this morning on the most important two-letter word in the Bible. The most important two-letter word, if. If. Because if Jesus Christ did not rise from the grave, we're in trouble. But if he did rise from the grave, we have hope. Can I tell you something? Those are two very drastic sides of the coin. Either we are lost or we can have hope. And so this morning, I want you to notice a little bit about what Paul says this morning. Because again, he's talking about the gospel. He's talking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gospel message. And he says, look, we preach this unto you. This is what you believe. But notice he says in verse number 12. Notice, first of all, if there is no resurrection. If there is no resurrection. And by the way, many people will try and tell you that Jesus did not rise from the dead. Many people will try to tell you that there is no resurrection. Jesus did not rise from the dead. Some will tell you that it's just a good story. Some will even tell you that somebody died in Jesus's place. Jesus didn't even die on the cross. Somebody else died in his place. But friend, we've got to go back to the word of God and find out what the Bible tells us. Notice what the Bible specifically says if there is no resurrection, if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. Notice verse number 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Notice a couple things that Paul says here. If there is no resurrection, first of all, he says, if there is no resurrection, Christ is not risen. Notice verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. Christ is not risen if there is no resurrection. Jesus Christ then is still in the grave. He's still in the grave. There is no resurrection. There is no ladies coming to the tomb and seeing the stone rolled away. There is no angels there saying, hey, he is risen. It's all fake. If there is no resurrection, Jesus Christ is still dead and in the grave. He's just like Muhammad. He's just like Buddha. He's just like all these others who have died and they're still in the grave. If Christ is not risen, then Jesus was not God. He was not God if he is still in the grave. If Christ was not risen, then he has no power to give life if he could not conquer death himself. You see, if Christ is not risen and he is still dead, then friend, can I tell you something? We have no hope in this world. None whatsoever. Because death has not been defeated. And that means all we have to look forward to is death. There's no hope if Christ is not risen. Notice secondly, if there is no resurrection, not only is Christ not risen, but our preaching is in vain. Notice verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. If there is no resurrection, then all our preaching is for nothing. That's what the word vain means. It's empty. It's pointless. It's useless, right? There's no need for me to stand up here and take the word of God and preach from this book, because if there is no resurrection, then could we say this book is useless? It's useless if there is no resurrection. If there is no resurrection, then it's pointless for me to continue preaching the word of God. This is what Paul says. Our preaching is vain. It's empty. There's nothing to it. If there is no resurrection, this book is the biggest fake in all of history, if there is no resurrection. Think about it. Today, obviously we understand time zones and things like this, but today, over half of the world's population is thinking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But if there is no resurrection, friend, think about this, half the world's population and all that they're thinking about in the resurrection is all vain. It's empty. It's pointless. If there is no resurrection. He says also there in the same verse, then our faith is also vain. If there is no resurrection, then our faith is empty. It's pointless. It's meaningless. Why? Because we are believing in a dead God. We're believing in a dead God. Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. We are believing in a fake book and the biggest liar that the world has ever seen if there is no resurrection. If there's no resurrection, then all the things that Jesus said about himself and that he was fulfilling prophecy and all these different things, it's all a lie. It's all fake. It's all pointless. It's all meaningless. Our faith is vain. If there is no resurrection, friend, you might as well get up and just walk out of here. If there's no resurrection, why? Because our faith is vain. Don't come back to church ever again if there is no resurrection. If there's no resurrection, can I tell you something, friends? If there's no resurrection and our faith is vain, I have wasted my life. I've wasted my life. I gave 12 years of my life to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in Uganda, East Africa. I've given 14 years of my life of preaching the gospel here at First Baptist Church. And you know how? If there is no resurrection, my life is wasted. 26 years wasted if there is no resurrection. Why? Because then our faith would be in vain. Because there's nothing to put our faith in. All of those years telling people about Jesus Christ, preaching for 26 years, it's all wasted if there is no resurrection. If there is no resurrection, notice what he says in verse 15. We are found false witnesses of God. If there's no resurrection, he says, we're all liars. We're all liars. If there's no resurrection, most of us here are liars because most of us here say we believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And hopefully, we've told someone about it. Hopefully, we've told someone else that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. But yet, if there is no resurrection, then we are all liars. This church is nothing but a lie. This book is nothing but a lie. If there is no resurrection. I think of men in the past who have given years and years of their life. I think of Fred Hill, who pastored this church for 42 years. Wasted if there is no resurrection. I think of missionaries like C.T. Studd and David Livingston, Hudson Taylor, Adoniram Judson. Wasted their life if there is no resurrection. Peter and Paul and all the other apostles, they were all liars if there is no resurrection. If there is no resurrection, notice verse 17. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain and ye are yet in your sins. If there is no resurrection, friend, then we are still in our sins because the cross doesn't mean anything. The cross doesn't mean anything if there is no resurrection. If Jesus Christ was not able to defeat death, then we are still in our sins. We're still trying to pay for our sins by our good works. And we know that we can never do that. There's no one that can pay for any sin by being good or by going to church or by keeping the Ten Commandments. Not one sin could be paid for by any of those things. And therefore, if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then we are still in our sins. And we might as well just go out, live life to the fullest extent, because there just isn't any hope after this life. If there is no resurrection. If there is no resurrection, look in verse number 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ. In other words, those who have died before are perished. It's an interesting word there, perished. Because the Bible tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But yet Paul tells us here, if Christ is not risen from the dead, then all of those who are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. In other words, what Paul is saying is all of those who have died believing in Jesus, believing in this resurrection, all of those who have died before us are burning in hell today. Every single person. Every single person who has died is burning in hell today. If there is no resurrection, then we have the same fate to look forward to. If there's no resurrection, then there is no heaven. If there is no resurrection, there's no eternal life. If there's no resurrection, then all we have to look forward to is the judgment of God. All we have to look forward to is death. So then what hope does anyone have if there is no resurrection? And this is what he says in verse number 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You understand what he's saying? He says, if it's only in this life that we're able to have hope and say, oh, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ and I believe he died for my sins, but he did not rise from the grave. There is no resurrection. Then what he's saying is there is nothing to look forward to in life. Nothing at all. We have no hope. There's no hope in this life. And he says, if that is true, then we are of all men most miserable. Because there's nothing that we have to look forward to. There's no hope. He says, we're of all men most miserable. But notice verse number 19. He says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But, I love that. Paul puts in there, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You see, if there is no resurrection, then friend, there's really nothing to live for. Because let's face it, nothing the world says can bring satisfaction, brings satisfaction. Nothing the world says can do it. Nothing that the world offers can bring any type of hope. It doesn't matter what the world offers. They can offer pleasure. They can offer prosperity. They can offer power. They can offer position. They can offer all those. But here's the one thing that we have to understand. It all ends when we die. So what's the point of it? Oh yeah, for a short time, boy, I got to experience pleasure for a short time. I got to experience power for a short time. I got to experience all this. Well, what's the point of it if there's nothing after death? What's the point? And Paul says, we are of all men most miserable if there is no resurrection. But Paul says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. So if there is a resurrection, I want to give you a couple things about this, because there are so many scriptures that talk about the resurrection that it is almost impossible not to believe in the resurrection. I mean, if you think about what Paul just said here, right? If you think about this, he said he was buried. He rose again the Thursday, according to the scriptures. He was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. And after that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to this present. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me. I mean, Paul starts telling all the people that saw Jesus after his resurrection. All the people that saw him. In fact, he even says he ate with them, right? He says in verse number, verse number 12, I think it is. Oh, actually, I'm sorry, I'm in another passage. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Hold on. We'll get there. Don't get ahead of me, right? There's so many scriptures that talk about the resurrection. If there is a resurrection, then again, I could go back through all the things that we just talked about, right? All those things. Our preaching isn't in vain. Our faith isn't in vain. We aren't liars. Our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west to those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. But this morning, I really only want to emphasize two things if there is a resurrection. Again, we could go back through all of those and talk more about them, but I just want to emphasize two things if there is a resurrection. And by the way, I don't know if you figured it out yet, but I believe there was a resurrection. I believe there was a resurrection. I believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So in case you were like hanging on, there was a cliffhanger and you're wondering, does he or does he not? You know, he keeps saying if. Believe me, I believe he rose from the grave. If I didn't, I wouldn't be here. If I didn't, I wouldn't have given 26 years of my life of preaching the gospel. If I didn't, I wouldn't be here at First Baptist Church this morning. On a Sunday morning, I wouldn't be opening the Word of God if I didn't believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So just to put your mind at ease, I want you to know, I believe in the resurrection. I believe it happened, just as the Word of God says. So Paul says, if there is a resurrection, and there is, notice verse number 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. You know what that means? Christ is alive. He's alive. I mean, think about the different songs that we sang this morning. He is risen. He lives. He's alive. I mean, all these different things. It's all about his resurrection. It's about, he is not still dead in the grave. He rose from the grave. There's the one song we sing, up from the grave, he arose. Hey, why do we sing that? Because we believe he rose from the grave. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living no matter what men may say. Why? Because he lives within my heart. He's a risen Savior. Man, we sing about it. We talk about it. We read scriptures about it. If there is a resurrection, then Christ is alive. And we have the testimony of God himself in the scriptures declaring that Jesus is alive. So friend, you have an option here. You can either choose to believe what God says or you can believe what man says. You can believe what God says, and God says he rose from the grave. Jesus Christ rose. Or you can believe what man says. Well, you know, we're just not really sure if he did. You know, we're not really sure if he rose from the grave. We're not really sure about this. You can choose to believe man, but remember what the Bible says. Let God be true and every man a liar. God's not going to lie to you. He's telling you the truth. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The women saw him at the tomb. The disciples saw him. He was seen on the road to Emmaus. He was seen by over 500 people at one time before his ascension. 8 times in 6 different books of the Bible. It says that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God. Can I tell you something? You cannot be at the right hand of God if you are dead. Can't be there. And yet, over and over and over, it says Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. He's at the right hand of God. He's at the right hand of God. The world and Satan have fought against the resurrection since the beginning. Since the very beginning. In fact, when you go back and you read in the gospel records, the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they said, hey, we remember what he said. Isn't that interesting? Even they knew what he said. We remember that he said, in 3 days, I will rise again. So what did they want? They wanted a guard. They went to Pilate and said, give us some Roman soldiers to guard the tomb because we remember what he said and we're afraid that some of his disciples are going to come and steal his body and make it look like he rose from the grave. So give us a guard. Give us some soldiers. Pilate said, you have your guard. Gave him the soldiers. They went, they sealed the tomb. The soldiers made sure they verified that the body was in the tomb. They rolled the stone in front of the tomb. They sealed it. And there was that Roman guard there. Let me tell you something. The disciples were no match for a Roman guard. Roman guard could have easily dispatched those disciples like nothing. You're talking about professional soldiers against fishermen? Yeah, I think we know how that would have ended up. But it wasn't about the disciples. It wasn't about the ones on the outside. It was about the one on the inside. The Bible says that morning the earth began to shake and the ground began to shake and an earthquake happened. And all of a sudden Jesus Christ came forth and the soldiers, the Bible said, fell and were as dead men. They didn't know what was going on. In fact, the soldiers even went back to the religious leaders and they said, hey, there was nothing we could do. It wasn't the disciples. It was God. I mean, there's an earthquake and the stone is rolled away. There's nothing we can do. He ain't there. What did they do? They said, well, just don't let it be known. We'll pay you. Just keep it quiet. Just don't tell anybody about it. Why? Because we're afraid people will find out. What are they trying to do? They're trying to squelch the resurrection. They're trying to keep it quiet. In fact, even in the book of Acts chapter 4, in verse number 2, it says, and they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they, it's talking about the disciples, taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Notice what the religious leaders are upset about. They come and they said, hey, you guys got to stop preaching. You got to stop teaching. In fact, if you don't, we're going to beat you guys. And what were they upset about? They were upset about the resurrection of the dead, that Jesus Christ had risen from the grave. And now because of his resurrection and the hope we have in Jesus Christ, they're saying, hey, we don't want that to get out. We don't want it to get out. Stop telling people about the resurrection through Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm glad the disciples didn't listen. They didn't listen. In fact, you read about it, they were beaten for it. And when they went back to the other believers, they rejoiced. They were praising God that they were found worthy to be beaten for the cause of Jesus Christ. They were ecstatic that they could receive suffering as Jesus did for them. Why? Because they knew that the suffering they were going through was nothing compared to the suffering that Jesus went through. Nothing compared to it. Jesus Christ is alive. For thousands of years, men and women have died because of the resurrection, because they have believed the resurrection. They have preached the resurrection. Why? Because he's alive. So how do you know that? Were you there? No, I wasn't. But God was. And he told me, he says it right here, all throughout scripture, that he is risen. And by the way, this isn't part of the message. But because he's risen, guess what? He's coming again too. Isn't that wonderful to know? If he's dead, he ain't coming again. There's nothing to look forward to because he's not coming. But because he rose from the grave, we know he's coming again. You know why? Because he said he was. It's amazing. How could he say he was coming again if he's dead? He said he was coming again. Just as much as I believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross and was buried and rose again, I believe exactly what he said, that one day he is going to come again. Why? Because he is alive. He's alive. I want you to notice the second thing. Because he is alive, because there is a resurrection, friend, we can be made alive. Because of what Jesus Christ did, because of his death on the cross. And yeah, we celebrate the resurrection today, but friend, think about it. Before the resurrection, he had to endure the cross. Last week in our church, we kind of read through a little bit of the account of Jesus Christ and what he endured. And just think about all the things that Jesus Christ had to endure before even the resurrection. Betrayal. Betrayal by some of your closest friends. Judas betraying him. All the other 11 disciples, no, Lord, we won't run. We will fight for you. We will die for you. When they came and arrested Jesus, where did they go? They ran. Betrayed. Lied about. Standing before Caiaphas, the high priest there. No law broken. A mock court. Yet they condemn him to die. Put a hood over his head, begin to punch him and beat him. Oh, if you really are the Son of God, if you really are who you say you are, go ahead, tell us, who just hit you? You know what, can I tell you something? He knew who hit them. And even if he would have called their name, they still would not have believed. They still wouldn't have believed. You say, well, how do you know that? Look at all the other miracles that he did and they didn't believe. Look at all the things that he did, all the people that he healed, all the demonic people that he cast out, the demonic spirits. Look at all the lepers that were healed. Look at the blind that were healed. Look at the lame that were healed. Look at the children that he had compassion on. Look at the people that he fed. Look at all the miracles that he did. And yet they would not believe. They wouldn't believe. They send him to Pilate. Pilate says, well, let me just scourge him. Let me just beat him up a little bit. Maybe this will suffice the people. They beat him up, put a crown of thorns, place it upon his head, beat it into his skull. Took a cat of nine tails, whip with nine leather lashes on it. And on those lashes, you have jagged pieces of metal and rock and stone. And as they raise his arms above his head, exposing his back, that Roman soldier takes that cat of nine tails and begins to lash it across his body. And remember, these are Roman soldiers that hate the Jews. And as he begins to take that and lash it across his body, and those lashes wrap around his body, and he begins to jerk that. And every time that that Roman soldier would jerk that lash back, it would cut and peel back his flesh, and parts of skin and things would just rip off. And that was just the first time. And then he did it a second time. More skin and flesh is being ripped off of his body. And he did it a third time, and more skin and flesh is being ripped off of his body. 40 times. 40 times they did that. So you could even see his bones. His bones were visible from the beating that he endured. And he hasn't even been to the cross. And then they make him carry the cross. You imagine your body so weak from the beating that you've endured, and now you're trying to have to carry this cross out of the city of Jerusalem, out to Golgotha. And he's so weak that he cannot even carry the cross, and they have to get another man to carry the cross for him because he's so weak. His body is so weak from the beating that he's gone through. They take him out to Golgotha, a quarry outside the city of Jerusalem, and they lay him down upon the cross, and they take those nails. We could almost picture him like railroad spikes. And they lay his hand down, and he takes that nail and hammers it through his hand, and lays his other hand down and hammers it through, and lays his feet and hammers it through his feet. And then they lift him up, and all of his weight is now being pulled upon these nails that are holding him to this cross. Why? Why would an innocent man not say anything? Why would an innocent man who could have come down off of the cross, why wouldn't he? Why would an innocent man call out and say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? Why would he do that? For me? For you? That's why he did it. Because he knows that you and I cannot pay for one single sin. And our sin has separated us. He says, as in Adam, all die. What happened? Adam and Eve, they ate the fruit that God said not to eat. They disobeyed God and they plunged mankind into sin. And now every person that is born a sinner. And we cannot take away our sin. And if we die without our sin being paid for, the punishment of sin is death and hell. That's the punishment. You say, I don't see how a loving God could send someone to hell. Yes, he is a loving God, but he is a God of justice as well. He is a just God. And here's the thing, friend. God doesn't send people to hell. Man makes a choice. We choose to say, I will believe in Jesus Christ as the one who died for my sins, who paid the price for my sin. I will believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, and I will put my faith and trust in him to save me for my sins. Or I will say, I do not believe in Jesus dying on the cross for my sins. I do not believe that he can pay for it. I will do something. There's something that I can do. There's some religious ritual. I'll be a good person. I'll go to church. I'll keep the Ten Commandments. I'll do something, and I can pay for them myself. You see, you have only one of two choices to make this morning. Either you can choose to believe in Jesus Christ and you can have your sins forgiven, or you can choose to believe in yourself and you will still remain in your sins. There's only one choice you can make. You can't have both. And this is why Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Notice the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 10, in verse number 38, he says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him, Jesus of Nazareth, God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him gave all the prophets witness, and through his name, whose name? The name of Jesus. And through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Praise God for that. He says, hey, it is only through Jesus Christ that your sins can be remitted, that your sins can be forgiven. It's only through Jesus Christ, because he's the only one who can pay for your sin. And when he hung on that cross and he cried out, it is finished. What was finished? It wasn't Jesus. Jesus wasn't finished. What did he say when he said, it is finished? The Greek word is the word tetelestai. It's a legal term. It means paid in full. Paid in full. Jesus said, I have paid the ultimate price for sin. Not just the sin of those people that were there today, but the sin of every single person in the world that has ever lived and that will ever live. He said, I've paid for their sin. You notice what it said here in the verse? Notice what he said. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Just as Adam, because of his sin, plunged all of humanity into a fallen state, Jesus says that his blood, his payment is enough for all mankind. You say, Pastor, you don't understand what I've done. You don't understand the sins that I've committed. I couldn't even begin to say them out loud. They're so atrocious. They're so horrible. There's no way that my sins could be forgiven. Friend, you're wrong. You're wrong. Jesus paid for your sin. He paid for my sin. It doesn't matter how atrocious it is. It doesn't matter how bad you think it is. Jesus Christ loved you enough that he was willing to go to a cross and bleed and die and pay for your sin. And he was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again to offer you life because he's the only one that can give it. He doesn't want you to spend eternity in hell. He doesn't want you to spend eternity in the lake of fire. He wants you to be with him, but he knows the only way is through him. That's why he rose from the grave. He defeated death so that you and I could have that hope and knowing, hey, one day there is a resurrection and we will be resurrected. Our bodies will be resurrected and he's going to give us a glorified body and we're going to be able to be with him for all of eternity. Why? Because of his death, burial, and resurrection. That's why. Friend, there is no greater love that you can ever experience than the love that Jesus Christ has for you and for me when he died upon that cross. And he was buried and he rose again to give you life. He wants you to have it. He said it's a free gift. There's nothing you have to do to work for it. You can't go to church enough for it. You can't give enough for it. You can't do anything enough for it. He said it's a free gift, for the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's a free gift. But he's not going to force you to take it. He offers it to you freely if you will choose to accept it. John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Can I ask you this morning? In Matthew chapter 22, verse 32, it tells us that God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. He's the God of the living. If there is a resurrection, and you have been made alive, you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, let me ask you this question. Are you living? Are you living? I didn't ask if you're alive. Obviously, everyone here this morning is alive. Some of you might need to check on your neighbor just to make sure. You're alive. But are you living? You see, there are many Christians who are alive, but they aren't living. They're not living for God. They're not living for Jesus Christ. God said that he isn't the God of the dead, but of the living. Are you living for him? If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, are you living your life? Look, friend, I'm not ashamed to say that I have given 26 years of my life to preach the gospel. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God has allowed me to preach the gospel on multiple continents and to tell people about Jesus Christ, to tell them about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for that. Are we living for him? He's made us alive. He's given us hope. He's given us life, but are we living for him? If you don't believe in the resurrection, may I say it will be obvious in how we live our life. The question is not if there is a resurrection, there is. The question is, will you be resurrected as an unjust person or a just person? If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I hear what you're saying. You're talking about the resurrection. I hear what you're saying. You're talking about Jesus Christ. He died for me and he was buried and he rose again. I've heard it in stories. I've heard it in Sunday school. Maybe I've heard it in church. Maybe I've heard it on YouTube. Maybe I heard it some other place. But Pastor, I'm going to be honest. I do not know if I have ever accepted that gift of God. I don't know if I've ever accepted that gift of eternal life. I would like to say that I know for sure if I died that I would be with Jesus Christ, but I'm not sure if I could say that 100%. Friend, in just a moment, we're gonna have an invitation where we give you an opportunity to make a decision about that. The most important decision you can ever make in your life is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Look, friend, I grew up in church. My dad was a preacher. He was a preacher. I grew up in church. I never missed a church service. We were just always there. But it wasn't until I was 20 years of age, and a junior in college, that I recognized that I was lost. Just because my dad was a preacher didn't mean that automatically gave me a pass into heaven. Just because I went to church all of my life and was a church member didn't mean that I got to just automatically go to heaven. No, 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 friend. I was a preacher's kid. I was in a Christian college. I was a church member. And if I would have died that day, I would have gone straight to hell. Because it's not about those things. There had never been a time when I had put my faith in Jesus Christ alone. But I remember that day. I remember in September of 1999, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I said, God, I can't take this anymore. I need to know where I'm gonna go when I die. 3 o'clock in the morning, I got up and I went downstairs in our dorm and I got a guy, I woke this guy up and I said, Jody, I said, I've got to get saved. He said, what? He said, your dad's a preacher. Aren't you a Christian? You're in a Christian college. Aren't you saved? No, I'm not. 3 o'clock in the morning, I remember we sat on a floor in a college dorm. Jody took the word of God and he opened the word of God and he showed me how I could have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, how I could have my sins forgiven. And that morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I accepted that gift of God. It's the greatest decision that I've ever made. Friend, if you don't know that today, we'd love to take the word of God, just like Jody showed me from God's word, how you can know for sure that you're saved as well. How you can know for sure that you have that hope, that life, that resurrection. One day when we take the last breath in this body, it will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you sure about that? Do you know absolutely for certain that you would be with the Lord? If not, we'd love to take the word of God and show you. Christian, you know Christ is your Savior. Man, we have something to look forward to, don't we? We know Jesus is coming. We know we're going to be with the Lord for all of eternity. But here's the question. Are we living for him now? We should be. That's what he desires. That's why we can have this hope. We can live for him now and tell others about Jesus Christ. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you so much for your patience with me this morning. Friend, I do want to be very serious about this question that I'm going to ask. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. No one's looking about. Friend, I do not want to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to come to you. But if you're here today and you say, man, there's something wrong. In my heart, I don't know what it is. And I'm not sure if I died where I would go. I don't know if I would go to heaven. I don't know if I would be with Jesus. I don't know if my sins are forgiven. You say, Pastor, that's me. I'm asking myself these questions and I just don't know. Friend, I'd like to pray for you today. And I'd love to have someone take the word of God and show you how you can be saved. But I cannot force you to do it. No one here can force you. It has to be your choice. And friend, if you're here today, you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I'm saved, but I would like to know more about it. Friend, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come to you, but I would like to pray for you this morning. Would you just slip your hand up this morning and say, Pastor, that's me. I'm just not sure. Just slip it up, put it right back down. Nobody's going to come to you. I'm not going to call you out. Just slip it up, put it right back down. Someone else. Yes, thank you. God bless you. Someone else. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm just not sure. Friend, it's an honest answer to say, I just don't know. I'm just not sure, but I would like to know. Is there someone else? You just slip your hand up, say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm just not sure. Thank you. God bless you. Someone else. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure. I'm just uncertain. Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Someone else this morning. Pastor, would you pray for me? I just don't know, but I want to know. I truly do. I want to know. Someone else this morning, just slip it up, put it right back down. Pastor, would you pray for me? Friend, if you raised your hand, if you raised your hand, you said, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want you to just look up at me right now. If you raised your hand, said, Pastor, would you pray for me? Just look up at me right now. I know there's a couple of you in here. Friend, here's what we're gonna do. In a moment, I'm gonna have piano begin to play, and everybody's head is still gonna be bowed, everybody's eyes are gonna be closed. Now I'm gonna ask you to just step out from where you are. Let us have someone take the word of God and show you how you can be saved. We can't force you to, but it is the most important decision that you could ever make. I'll tell you when to move in just a moment, but I'm gonna pray for you here, and I'm gonna pray that God would help you to respond and that you'll come and that you'll have, let us take someone and show you how you can be saved. Christian, if you're here this morning, you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's a very simple question this morning. Are you living for him? When he has done so much for you, are you living for him? Father, I pray that you would bless the invitation now. Lord, for Christians, for those that know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray that you would just remind us what you've done for us. Lord, through your cross that you went through, the burial, the resurrection, that you've given us life, that we are to live for you now. Lord, help us to desire to live for you. Lord, help us to share the gospel, the good news with others who do not know. Lord, there were several this morning that raised their hand. You saw them. Thank you, Lord, that they were willing to be honest and that they're uncertain. They're just not sure, but they would like to know more. Lord, we want nothing more. We're not trying to convince them to become part of our church or anything. Lord, we just simply want them to know you. We want them to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and how they can have a personal relationship with him. Lord, I pray as the invitation starts in just a moment that they would come and I'll meet them right down here and I'll have someone take the word of God and show them how they can be saved. Lord, speak to their hearts. Lord, help them to come to you today. With their heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're just gonna stand quietly this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one's looking about, we'll just stand quietly. The piano's gonna begin playing. Christian, if God spoke to your heart, if you know you're not living for him, you need to do that. Friend, if you raised your hand, you said, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved, just step out right now. I'm gonna meet you right down here in front. Just step out. I'm gonna be right down here. Would you be willing to come? Just step out right now.